is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John, no Lance. I'm in Chicago. I'm in my brother's den, as a matter of fact. Heading up to Green Bay to see the Texans and Packers. Monday and Tuesday, they'll be practicing and playing on Thursday. So headed up here, see some family, and then go on up to Green Bay. And Raheel came in, finally, not lazy, going to be in studio for 4 hours. Actually, how about this? All the lazy asses, Dell, that work 3 hours a day, I'm going to be working 3 hours a day now for the next four shows. 3 hours as opposed to the 4 hours. I'm the hardest working man at the station. You really don't do much during the show. So my 4 hours, I'm the hardest working man there. I'm going to see how the lazy asses live right now.
Can you explain what you actually do besides talk?
I drive the show. It's what I do. I'm driving the whole show.
Are you driving the show, or are you careening nearly off a cliff and someone has to jerk you back onto the road like I have to do all the time?
No. I'm Mario Andretti.
You are not the Mario Andretti.
Dario.
You are the Katie Woman driver of the show.
He's the Dale Earnhardt.
No. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. Junior.
A Dale Earnhardt. Wow.
Junior.
Oh, yeah, what? He's an accomplished racer. What
exactly. Granato is an accomplished driver.
You're going to have all the threes hating you, okay?
Good morning.
So, good morning. Already? You already pissed all those people off? What's going on in Houston, boys?
Man, it is crazy. Texans fever. I was driving in. There were fans lined up on Westheimer just excited about the fact that football is back officially. Mm. It's back.
Well, not really.
No, there was a game yesterday. It's back.
Well, it was not the Texans game. And really, I think that the Texans, with the Astros news from the day before yesterday, the Texans are really like, what the bleep? What are we going to do? SI did a piece on five observations from Texans training camp.
Okay. Let me try to hit some of these.
Okay. Let me see if you can hit them. You haven't seen the story?
No, I have not seen it.
Okay.
Okay. What? Number one. Number one, the wide receivers are looking great.
Well, expect to be better. The Texans expect to be better at receiver around DeAndre Hopkins. That's not number one, but okay, go.
Okay, number one, the O-line does not look good.
The O-line, the offensive line is obviously the big question.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Of course.
There you go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary, question mark?
Well, There are a couple of secondary question marks. Well, actually, number five, the other trouble spot outside of the offensive line is at corner. Mm. Now, another one that they do have it involves the safeties. What do you think that says?
This is going to be a standout group. Justin Reed's going to be an all-pro.
Even with Tyrann Mathieu gone, safety looks to remain a strength.
Everyone loves Justin Reed.
Yeah. Well, this talks about bringing in Tayshaun Gibson and Jahlil Adai. But you get the point.
All right. Last one. Is there one more still?
There's one more. This one's a little bit tougher.
What's going to happen when there's an injury and you can't get a guy in? Something along the lines of GM.
No, that was what I was thinking, if you want to know the truth. The answer is the team's also deeper and better at tight end than it has been after spending a bunch of draft capital there.
Okay.
Okay.
Tight end. That's
the Texans story. Now, your GM point to that point, I was thinking, and so inside, there's a good story. Inside the Greinke deal, it was written by inside the Zach Greinke deal, 24 hours that rocked the MLB trade deadline, by Jeff Passan. And it's a pretty good story. It's a look behind the scenes. It tells exactly how it all came together. The Astros called, Jeff Luhnow called Mike Hazen with 24 hours left on the shot clock, and and they were able to get the deal done. Actually, Jim Crane got involved in it. He called their owner. They were working. They had to work out the money. The Astros had to keep upping their offer. In the meantime, they realized Bumgarner's not going anywhere. Wheeler's not going anywhere. Hey, the Yankees aren't doing anything. Why are we doing something if the Yankees aren't even going to be able to get anything done and blah, 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 and all this stuff that was going on the last 24 hours and got the job done. And I thought to myself, how in the hell would the Texans even? And I just can't help it. I'm sorry. Yesterday I was. Dell said they. I think they have, Dell. I think they've rented a space in my head.
They really have.
I mean,
they've shooken you to your core. You know that, right?
But the fact that, you know, how difficult and how complex it got, and how the decision making that has that instantaneous that you have to, you know, work all these deals, and it's got to be two people that trust each other, and it's got to be, you know, and it's got to be back and forth. And with this, the situation that the Texans are in, you know, we got to run it up the ladder. While he said it's a flatter, you know, I just don't see that. Actually, it's Jeff Luhnow. It can't be flatter. Jeff Luhnow, he calls Jim Crane and says, hey, I got a possible deal for Greinke. And Crane goes, go get him. And, oh, by the way, if you need any help, call me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you might have to talk. Okay, he calls him. You might have to talk to their owner about sending money because we're not picking up the whole 77. Okay, I'll give him a call. And this is how it's done. And then how many prospects? And you know what Jim Crane said? Well, that's fine. You know what? We're giving up a lot. Giving up Martin and Bukauskas and Beer and Rojas. Okay. I trust you. You think this is – yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Okay, done. Now, how many guys do you have to go through through the Texans? Trent Williams. Okay, well, what do you want? I don't know. We got to huddle. I don't know. I got to get with – well, Bill O'Brien's in practice. How are we going to – how do you know what Bill O'Brien – he's in the middle of practice or getting ready or watching film or whatever. How are we supposed to get this done?
It's never good when you are trying to decide a GM decision and you have to send out a go-to meeting invite to get everyone on the same conference line. Like, that's never a good thing. Yeah, when you have to send a calendar invite just to discuss a topic because there's so many people involved, it's never good. But, John, this isn't the first time. It's always been the case with the Texans. Like, it's always confusing. Like, who made that decision? This happened. And then you got to make. Remember the flow chart that we always tweet and Lamont tweets. Like, that has always been the Texans' way. Is who is responsible for this? Who is the reason? Why did this happen? Oh, you got to figure out this, and then you got to ask that guy, and then did you guys see the open practice? What? You guys are distracting us now. What's happening here?
And not only that, but like draft picks. Even back in the Charlie Casserly days, now that's a Vic Fangio guy. See, hey, Vic wanted that guy. All right. I didn't want Vic. We've been told it's wars in there, and you never know. Well, wait a minute. Who made the pick? Who's deciding what the pick is? Oh, just give him his guy, Rick. Okay,
you're focusing on the wrong thing. You need to focus on the fact that the pick is here. Okay, the pick has been made. Why are you focusing on who made it? I'm not making that. It wasn't my pick.
Okay, that's a CYA. All right.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So it's not like just because there's four people making these decisions now, it's confusing. It's always been confusing. It's the Texans' way.
Yeah.
And frankly, if I'm somebody that's working in that organization, or if I'm just talking about Raheel, right? If I'm working somewhere, I want to work in a place where it's kind of confusing. Like, you don't know where the buck stops. Because that way you can just keep scooting by. And, oh, look at that. The Texans will employ the hell out of people without results.
That ain't me. That ain't on me. Well, who's it on?
I don't know. I just signed an extension. That's a you problem.
That doesn't sound like I didn't make that decision. Remember? I don't know who made that decision. John, the Astros made that extremely complex deal, but do you have any idea how hard it is to find 100 water guns? The Texans' water gun fight was difficult to put together, too, sir. You're right, CJ.
Yeah, that was the big news yesterday because it was the first open practice. And did you know, Dell, John, I'm going to break some news to you guys. Did you know it's hot in Houston during training camp?
No.
Okay, so it was really hot yesterday. and there were a bunch of kids out there, which was cool. You know, they're getting a chance to watch the practices and all that. And then they snuck up on the players. The players had no idea it was about to happen, and they shot them with super soakers.
Wow.
Yep.
You know what? That's fun. That's fun.
That's cool for the kids.
You know what? That's
good.
That's a good for a 6 o'clock tease on the newscast. That's all good.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not going to take it. You know what? That's fine. I'm more worried about go get Trent Williams. Go make a splash. Go do something that's going to be outside of the normal, regular way that, okay, we're the 23rd pick and we're not going to do anything. And we're just going to let Andre Dillard just get scooped up right in front of us. And let's, you know, and we're going to, okay, well, we're going to put a rookie or a Matt Khalil. You know, I just read, you know, that article, that SI article said, well, the Texans are happy with Matt Khalil so far. Oh, really? You mean a guy who's blocking air so far? That's good, because as I heard the other, somebody brought to our attention that, I don't know who it was, but they had some one-on-one drills, and Whitney Mercilus was throwing them around like a rag doll. Okay. Yeah. Whitney Mercilus, who's got a total of one sack over the last 2-3 years.
Yep. Has more restaurant openings than sacks.
He does have, actually. He kind of does. He, you know, and when Jason Braddock was in yesterday, and he goes, well, you know, I think he forgot about 2017, but, you know, oh, well, you know, and he was okay the first. He had one sack in the first five games in 2017. One. And then he had, you know, last year, just the whole season done. I mean, he's virtually been non-existent. And he's taking care of Matt Khalil. That's good.
Yep.
That's a good sign. Well, we'll see. You know, next week with the Packers, we're going to see how, you know, that'll be a much better indication. And then you get on the field and you see. Whether or not Matt Khalil, I'm hoping he is. Ryan Khalil came back, his brother.
I saw
how about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good for him.
I mean, that guy's good. That guy's good. And Matt Khalil was the fourth overall pick and just kind of fell apart. When you're the fourth overall pick and 7 years later, as a tackle, 7 years later, you're out of the league looking for anywhere that you can find a job, that's a bad, bad sign.
Injuries, man. Injuries.
Yeah. That's it.
Injuries.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, as you mentioned, you will be at practice next week, and we're the only Houston radio station that's going to be at practice there, not broadcasting live from there, though. Because other stations are there, they're going to be doing their shows, but we're there, but not broadcasting. So we're the only Houston radio station to be there without a live show.
But not broadcast.
Yeah.
Right.
But we're there.
Well, but I will bring sound back, but after the... It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're there. And between us two, we're going to have practices covered from beginning to end, because I'll be there Saturday.
Oh, you're going to go Saturday?
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to bring back that.
I'm not bringing anything back. I'm just going.
No, I know.
I'm not bringing sound back.
Which will be fresher? Your Saturday sound or one of our sports splashes on Monday?
Well, from 7 to 9, they'll be fresh. I can't say what will happen between 12 and 7.
Okay.
7 to 9, the freshest of sports flashes.
Oh, man. Okay.
2 to 7 a.m. could be 3 weeks ago. Who knows?
Tony DeSiri is just doing his job.
In fact, it's not even Tony DeSiri.
Who is it now?
Because he sends them. They're just not uploaded on our end.
Oh, okay.
There's a disconnect with
a technical glitch.
Wait, it's not Del. Del, you're ruining the whole thing.
It's not.
That way, dissect a bit, Del.
Sorry. I don't like Tony catching heat. He's had enough.
It's not Tony that's catching it. It's just. Yeah. All right. We're taking one here. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. The This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. How about them Astros? How about them kick ass? What about Bregman doing squats? Are we okay with this?
Absolutely. Why not?
You like it?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. It was a light load, just a bat.
I know, but well, Miles Straw is gone now, so he can do that. That's fine.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
He was just sent down. That's all. Which he is and Urquidy. I told you, like. Everybody's, oh, yeah, Zach Greinke, yeah. Except the Urquidy family. They're going, what the bleep?
Yeah, and that's why he performed the way he did on the day the trade went down. He's like, that's it. I lost my job.
He was like, take this. How about this, Astros? You know, okay, you want Zach Greinke? Well, watch this. How's a lost taste?
That's the wrong way to go about it. If you're the Urquidy family.
The what?
Urquidy.
That's not his name. His name is Urquidy.
Urquidy family.
Why do you call him that? What's wrong with you? What the hell is wrong with you?
By the way, is something wrong with Gerrit Cole? Only four strikeouts?
Four strikeouts. Do you think, okay, four strikeouts and he gave up an earned run.
Is it time to trade him?
No. Do you think that maybe he's pissed off thinking, oh, I'm not good enough? Now we're going to get somebody else in here?
Yeah.
Do you think that anything like that was going on with in his head?
Insurance plans. That's easy. Wait, you guys are bringing in the insurance guy now? Huh?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to leave, so you have to plan ahead? What's wrong with you guys? Watch this.
You don't want me? Or you're going to give him $23 million a year? And, I'm not good enough?
Well, how's to this? Be fair, I mean, you're just – Zach already got the bag, and you just have to continue giving him the bag. There's no,
well, yeah, but that yeah. bag, I don't know that the Astros have a big enough bag for all of them.
They will if we all start buying more tickets and buying more jerseys.
I don't know. I'm not sure. That's
yeah.
big.
And buying big more. Bag.
Once they hit $208 million, now all of a sudden the bag doubles every time you spend a dollar. So I'm not so sure about that.
You better start buying more rounds at the new Astros course, Memorial. Start playing more golf over there.
I think that's still owned by the city, but okay.
Yeah, right. Go in there and buy some. Why is he renovating it then?
I think it's all a big, it's a massive thing for everybody involved there. But it's the Texans tournament. I'm not sure they own Memorial now, but I don't. I'm not. I don't want to.
Sure, seems like they do.
Did you guys happen to see, there's a huge story, and it's not here, but, and thank God something like this wouldn't happen here. You guys don't know who Thorbjørn Olsen is. Thorbjørn Olsen.
Sounds like a super entitled kid.
Well, he's a golfer.
Well, there you go.
And he's pretty big on the European tour, not so much here, although he plays some here, and he's known, he just is, he's 29. Well, on the way back after the tournament in Nashville, he and Ian Poulter were in first class at British Airways, and it appears that Thorbjørn Olsen got himself intoxicated and sexually assaulted a woman. Whoa. And then decided to urinate right in the aisle in first class. Now, sexually assaulting a woman, we're not doing that. That's, there's absolutely no excuse. Now, if you got to go, though, suppose somebody was in the first class bathroom. Do you think he's going to go with the poors and try to go to the bathroom?
No, you just – I mean, look, the how expensive those tickets are, you basically buy that space, so you can do what you want with that space.
Yeah, and if you got to go, you got to go. And if they're taking – you're taking a long time. Guess what? Here's what you get. Here's some of this.
That's not
now,
good. Yeah.
Who do you call? Oops. Oops. No, you call Oops Steam Cleaning because they can get urine out of your carpet. You
even
don't know nothing
about
it.
Even on a plane.
Yes, even on the plane. Yes, you call Oops. That's right.
Hey, I forgot to tell you this, but I tweeted this picture out. So when I was flying back from London, you know how we always like hint at it, like the Mile High Club. Ooh, the Mile High Club. Ooh, ooh. Have you joined the Mile High Club? Have you had uncomfortable sex in a bathroom that is the size of, well, you know, an outhouse? It's really small.
Right.
You know, and so
I'll tell you this. You couldn't have had sex with the woman I was on the plane with yesterday in the bathroom. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh. We fat shaming in 2019, John.
I'm not fat shaming. All I'm saying is, good Lord.
Mile High Club shaming?
Can I get a little of the armrest?
Damn,
is
son.
Any chance I can get some of that armrest?
No, she paid for her ticket, too.
You know, I thought of you, Del. I thought you would be very uncomfortable here with the sides of our thighs touching the entire flight.
That happened to me on my flight from L.A. when I went to Hawaii. I was flying back from L.A. to Houston. Just this big dude was like, look, I'm big. Ain't nothing I can do about it. I had the aisle seat, too, so I was like, all right, it's not bad. The window might have been better, but the aisle, I can move around a little bit. He's like, look, you ain't having none of this armrest.
Oh,
I'm just going to put all my arm. I'm big. My arms are going on each armrest, and I'm watching my laptop. I was like, it was the most, and thighs were touching. If I moved, I moved, I'm touching his thigh.
You
if I breathed, I'm touching his thigh.
Why didn't you make it uncomfortable for him then?
And do what?
Start putting your hand on his thigh.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, because you want to be in the power position. He was in the power position.
I don't want to be in the power position. I want to be not touched. Touching him doesn't help me.
Yes, it does, because it makes him uncomfortable.
Well, and then you got to lean into the aisle, and the cart comes by.
Yeah, all of it.
Your shoulder off, all of it.
You couldn't move an inch without grazing them. Ugh.
So in London, they encourage the Mile High Club, John. Did you know this?
No.
So in the bathroom, in the men's bathroom, you can buy all sorts of sexual stuff. Condoms, vibrators, lubes, Tic Tacs,
everything. On the plane?
No, in the bathroom before you board. So like right outside the boarding gates. There's, I mean, literally anything you want. It looked like Beth's store.
No, are you kidding me?
I'm dead ass serious. I'll tag you in this picture. I've never seen that before.
In the airport.
In the airport,
bathroom,
they're like, hey, if you're going to do this, let's be safe about it.
It's like one of those gas station.
Yes.
Bathrooms? Really?
Yeah.
I never saw that in London. I don't want to see that. Don't send me that picture.
I'm going to send it to you. Hold on.
No, I don't need that. I don't need the picture, a bathroom picture.
No, it's just a picture of the vending machine.
Laura.
It's a vending machine.
I know, but I'm calling Laura. If
there's no bathroom in it. Yeah, so they encourage that over there. How cool is that?
Not cool. I don't want to be standing outside the bathroom and two people come out.
Oh, now you're just C-blocking.
No, I was even a little uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you this.
What?
This little girl goes into the bathroom. And then she opens the door, and the dad goes in there after her. And I was like, this is not. I swear to God. It was her dad, but I just was like, okay, should I report this?
No.
Do I need to report this?
You don't need to report that.
I don't need that on my plane.
Okay, here. I'm tagging you, and I'll just retweet it for the people.
I swear I'm calling HR.
Look,
if I get this.
You can buy – here's what you can buy. You can buy your EXS Pleasure Gel. You can buy a ring that vibrates. I don't know why you would. I guess because of space. Yeah, you just put it on your finger and then, okay, I got it. And then you can buy a Blue Max with 3 X's. I'm going to retweet it right now. And I'm going to tag you. Hey, John, for the flight back. Hey, John.
Hey. I told you, I'm calling HR. Laura, what's Laura's number, Del?
I've never had to deal with
713-780-3776.
Laura and I don't have that type relationship because I don't do things like you do, John.
Although Dal,
I'm sure you've called Laura on me before.
No, I just ignore you and go home. That's
well, we have a new thing in the office because we don't want to call Laura. When we walk in, Dal and I walk in after the show and we're just thinking about stuff. We talk out loud, so we tell people within the area that can hear us. We go, hey guys. We're going to need you to waive your HR rights because we're about to say something inappropriate.
Yeah, and if they don't waive their HR rights, we move to a different part of the office.
So you guys are constantly moving around the office?
No, well, a lot of people waive their HR rights. We ask them beforehand, hey, have you decided to waive your HR right clause? And if they say yes, we continue on with our conversation.
Yeah. And we'll make them laugh. And if they say no, then we shame them and go, what a loser, nerd. And then we walk.
Yeah, we treat them like Yankee fans are treating Zach Greinke. What?
You don't. Yeah, that's because you don't like the bright lights. That's what we say to people who don't wave.
We don't want him anyways.
Yeah, that's what we say to people who don't wave their HR clause.
He sucks anyway.
Yeah, man. You put what, Arizona? Loser.
Oh, you want to go to Houston? That's because you're afraid of the spotlight.
Oh, really? The spotlight? You mean the prime time?
Look, okay, I'm not saying it's logical. I'm just saying they say that, and we say that to Michael Carroll quite often because he never waves his HR clause.
Yeah, we're like, nerd.
Nerd.
All right, 729 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. When we come back, Daryl Morey is. Why did you cut? That was ugly what you put on the rundown about.
Well, we'll get into it, but I think I have good reason for saying what I wrote, writing what I wrote.
Mm. All right. Well, let's see. Let's see when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Lance is not here. This is his final day off. He's back next week. I'll be in Green Bay while he's in studio. We'll be bringing you all the stuff from the Texans practices against the Packers. In the meantime, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Why does Granato always equate cleaning carpets to urinating on the floor? I mean, when I met with the Oops people, they were like, we get a lot of urine on the floor. And now it's probably mostly animal urine, dogs or cats or whatever, but there's urine.
Kids.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm sure that bar in Florida, they had their urine issues. But
that's the worst story.
But that's neither here nor there. People have urine on their floor, and you got to get it out. Otherwise, it's stinky. So don't be gross. Call Oops. Go to oopssteam.com. Why do I see Granato sitting on the couch yelling at his sister-in-law, Teresa, pancakes, bring me some pancakes. No. Okay, your name's not Teresa. It's Bruna. Okay, so, and I don't yell at her to bring me pancakes. Okay? That doesn't happen. I don't think my brother has any. I don't know if he's got gabagool. I do know this. He's usually got Supersata. Yep, and it's good Supersata.
What is that?
Oh, that's a dried salami kind of thing, only it's more rectangular, and it's really delicious. It's spicy. Okay. It's really good. Yeah, really good.
All right.
You don't know nothing about Supersata.
Yeah, we act. That's why we asked.
That's why I asked. I don't know a thing about it.
You're absolutely correct that we don't know anything about it. That's why we asked.
We call it Supersata.
Yeah.
Supersata.
So what do you think about, how do you like, first of all, because we want to talk about Daryl Morey. He was on with Rich Eisen yesterday.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on sexy Daryl with the new beard?
I know, right? Well, I think that this is a different Daryl. I really see a different attitude in this Daryl. Yeah. I really do.
Wouldn't your attitude change too if the Warriors are no longer a super team?
Well, and I told him, I saw him at a game, and I texted him. I said, "Hey, man, you lost a lot of weight. You look good. Nice." And I think he's a cockier, he's a smoother, he's got the nice stylish beard thing going on. He's got the hair slicked back. I mean, I think he's rebranded well. Now, the whole. And I think Lance talked about it yesterday on Twitter, or maybe it was while he was on with us. The whole Instagram Daryl and Twitter Daryl is something that is – I don't know that it's optimal as if for a GM to be pining for players, MVP, or – I don't know what he's trying to sell there. I really don't. I guess he said, to Dan Patrick that we're not worried about regular season anymore. We've got all the awards we need for the regular season. I hope that's the case. I hope there's not going to be any more. The organization doesn't need that. The self-aware, and I think the Rockets are self-aware. I hope they are. I mean, I don't think they have been in the past. I think all this MVP talk and down in Russ and, playing up James and playing up the 30-point tour and unstoppable tour and all of that stuff, I just don't know. I think fans don't care about that. They want that championship. They want them to do better in the postseason, and that's the only important thing. And I hope that's going to be the case.
Well, I kind of disagree here because I think there's a segment of fans that want that what you mentioned, right? Like, let's just postseason. Let's worry about winning titles. Let's worry about that. That's the end goal. And I think the Rockets are number one in this, where they'll program their fans kind of like the team is, where they only care about certain things. They'll hit talking points like the Russell Westbrook stuff. When the triple-doubles were happening, they're going, well, some of those rebounds, like the team just gave to them. Okay? Or triple-doubles, hey, that's selfish. Think about this. There was a point where we thought triple-doubles were selfish, something that helps teams win. Like Russell Westbrook's record with triple-doubles were great. It wasn't like he had a losing record. It's not Allen Iverson where you're just shooting a ton of shots to get points. Assists and rebounds help the team win. When did that become a bad thing? When did that become a selfish thing? It's so strange, right? But there's a segment of fans that jump onto these things that the Rockets say and kind of plant, it feels like. So I don't know. And I hope now you're right that it is a different Rockets franchise where they truly don't care about that stuff, where they don't care about individual awards. And
well, we'll
now
see.
That the window is
we'll
wide
see.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you can say all you want. Mm-hmm. You can go on Dan Patrick and say it's not important, but we'll see.
Yeah.
In the regular season whether or not that's true. And then there's the age-old question, too. Really, the regular season doesn't mean anything to anyone. Like the 65-win season, they had their best season ever. They had the best record at the All-Star break, which they never had before. They had an MVP. None of that matters because they lost to Golden State. None of it. And I could see your point. I mean, no, let's enjoy the ride. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I mean, hey, just because you didn't win at all doesn't mean it was a complete failure. It was a really, really good season.
Yeah.
But, however, I mean, talking to Tillman after it was over, it wasn't. I mean, it's not good. And last season wasn't good enough. It just wasn't because you didn't do what you set out to do, which is win a championship. And that's the most important.
Yeah, and that's the point. Like, where in that season, it did matter. And you were right. Like, let's enjoy it. Let's get to that point. It's awesome. You get to Game 7. And, yes, there were injuries, all that stuff. That's fine. But now, if you win 65 and lose again, like that 65 wins to me, unless it comes down to the last day of the NBA season where you're trying to get home court in the West and that 65th win is a deciding factor, that's okay. That is important then. But just getting 65 and having a great regular season, now it doesn't matter because you just accomplished that with this group, with this nucleus, right? James Harden specifically. You already accomplished that. So you can't brag on that anymore. Like, it's different. You got to get to a different benchmark. So every season, that benchmark changes.
Yes. You're right. You did. Yeah. You hit 65. You got to the Western Conference Finals. All that's fine. Yeah. Now you got to do better. Okay, so here's Daryl Morey talking to Rich Eisen about, you'll hear. It's self-explanatory.
Actually, to me, there's six really, really good teams in the West, and it's pretty even across. If you look at Vegas, we're ranked somewhere between 1 and 3 in terms of title odds and over under and wins, and I think that's about right. But there's six teams that are really, really strong, I think, and it's going to be a war, and it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. And where do you think you stand?
First, 100%.
Well done, Daryl Morey.
That wasn't that funny.
No, but you got to get you know the media laugh.
But
you,
come on, that was like way overselling it.
Turn it down, Eisen.
Eisen's got him sitting right there at his beautiful set, his Johnny Carson
too
set,
much.
And he's
like,
no, he
it's
got
too
a,
much.
Maybe just
did he drop?
Wow,
where was someone to do that? Calm down.
That's
Eisen.
What he needs. Yeah. Ed McMahon.
He needs a sidekick to do the laughing so Eisen doesn't have to prostitute himself.
Yeah, he needs to get like Phil from the Tom Green Show.
Somebody to laugh so he doesn't have to sound ridiculous.
Wow. Good. He's right. There are six teams that could win. It is as open as ever, although there's one clear favorite, the Clippers.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's still open. Like, even with the Clippers, if they don't win it, would you be shocked? No?
What book is Daryl going to that will say the Rockets are 1-3? I could see 3. I can't. There's no chance that they're the favorite.
To be fair, like, what else is he going to say? He's not going to say. He's new. As you mentioned, he's new Daryl.
No, it's not that new because before they made the trade for Russell Westbrook, He said they were the number one team with Chris Paul. So that's why I'm confused. John alluded to it before we went to break about I said something ugly. What I wrote was Daryl Morey's full of it and then put the link. Because if you were the number one team with Chris Paul and you were the favorite because you're the favorite because you're bringing back your five, everyone else is having to maneuver, but you have your five intact, why would you make the trade?
Okay,
because the Astros might have felt like Jeff Luhnow, another GM, said we're the number one team, and then we feel like we can win a series against anyone. Then he still went out and made a trade, but he didn't take off a proven piece off his major league roster to do it. He didn't trade Verlander for Greinke. He added Greinke to the rotation. Mm-hmm. If you add Russell Westbrook to your current starting five, okay, maybe I buy it. But if you're number one before, why would Russell Westbrook, a worse playoff player than Chris Paul, make you number one?
Well, but when he said that too, the Clippers didn't have Kawhi. That was before Kawhi signed with the Clippers.
And you think he would have backed off of that number one statement if Kawhi
and he's Paul not backing. He's doubling down.
That's not what I mean. You said he said they were number one before Kawhi. You think he would have come if they still had Chris Paul and Kawhi and Paul George were on the Clippers? He would have said number one.
Yeah, he's still going to say. Yeah, he's not going to say number two.
No, we're number one. What are you going to do? No, we're the best.
He's not the best.
The only thing is he's setting himself up for disappointment.
He sounds ridiculous, is what he sounds.
No, he's the general manager. He's supposed to have those high expectations.
Yeah, wouldn't you want your GM having those expectations for you, Dell?
Sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. Doesn't your GM come in and say, "Hey, you guys are number one. Way to go."
No, because we're not.
Congratulations.
He doesn't say that.
Not from 9 to 11. They're like, "Hey guys, hey Timberwolves, pick it up." Hey, Andrew Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns, are you guys ever going to live up to your potential?
Well, you know,
you think you're Carl Anthony Towns?
No, I was going to say you're Carl Anthony Towns.
I don't want to be Wiggins.
Heels Wiggins.
I'm Wiggins. I'm way better on the perimeter than you.
No, that's not
the
point.
No, you're a huge disappointment.
Wiggins is the most disappointing player in basketball.
I have cornrows.
Wiggins is considered one of the most overpaid, disappointed players in basketball. You want to be Wiggins?
You guys are focusing on the negative. He's still an NBA player, thus, I'm Wiggins.
Carl Anthony Towns is an NBA player, too.
Is he really?
You don't want to be Wiggins.
I think you've been Wiggins your whole life. Your brother's a dentist. You kick your sister in the face.
Well, I thought the sister was Wiggins.
Yeah, she got kicked in the face.
Yeah, but... You know, you're just a cancer in the locker room.
Cancer in the locker room.
No, that's you, John. What? You're a divisive force.
Yeah.
No. All right. I want to. Let's pull the curtain back when we come back. Raheel had some numbers that I think would be interesting to people about listen to shows.
Yeah, we'll do that next.
Let's share them with everybody, and these are real numbers, not ratings. These are real numbers that we can share with you on the other side. It's pretty interesting. But let's talk right now about best hotel rates. Raheel, if you're going to travel and you're going to get a hotel, do you want the worst hotel rates or do you want the best hotel rates?
Besthotelrates.com. And there's also a new website, mybrothersbasement.com, which is also acceptable, I believe.
And you stayed there.
No, that's where you're staying.
I was up in the rooms. I have stayed in my brother's basement.
Mybrothersbasement.com, also as good as my besthotelrates.com.
Right? Besthotelrates.com is where you go and you get the best hotel rates. Besthotelrates.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm live in Chicago, heading to Green Bay for the practices next week. While Raheel is back in studio, Lance rejoins us next week right here on ESPN 97.5. When's your vacation, Del?
August 23rd.
Oh, so we got a while.
Going back to Hawaii? Money back?
No, it'll be Vegas and LA.
Ooh. Mm. 15 on red for me.
Why would I do that? I hate when people say that.
I know.
To
it's
other people.
The worst thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to gamble. 15 on red. You can do it online now. Just do it online
if
on
you're
your
so place. So into 15 on red, you can find places to do it. I got a bet for you, and if you win, bring you back money.
Yeah.
I ain't doing that.
Venmo is back to me.
And it's, you know, my buddy Yanni always, okay, you go there, put it on seven. First, we walk up, put it on seven, put 100 on seven, and then, I'm like, how do you, honestly, if you hit, it's $3,500. Do you think you're going to see that?
No.
Do you really think you're going to see that $3,500?
Oh, Yanni, the streak continues. It didn't hit again.
Didn't hit, Yanni. Give me that hundy.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a caller, Jeff. What does Jeff want to talk about?
Yeah, he just left. Okay. He just hung up.
So Raheel sent us out something that was interesting, and I think we can pull the curtain back a little bit here.
Yeah.
That it's kind of telling, too, to me, and maybe and I know a lot of people are interested in this kind of stuff. Ratings are ratings, you know. Frankly, I've never, ever, ever worried about it. To me, the most important thing is that, you know, you have a good show. And if you have a good show, then advertisers are going to want to advertise. And if you have advertisers, you're going to be able to stay on the air. And if you stay on the air, then, you know, maybe the shows get better and people will listen and whatever. But and ratings, you never know if they're accurate because there are so few books out there for so many people that I you know, just whatever. Ratings are whatever. Yeah. But you've got streaming numbers, which are real numbers. You can tell how many people are listening, how long they're listening. They're exact numbers.
Absolutely.
And, and you've gone back and looked and see, okay, what's the most important thing to listeners? What are people listening for? And I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. So the reason this I did it, and I do this once a week, where I just go back and I'm looking at our streaming numbers. I have access to them, which is great. And the reason I love it is because, as you mentioned, like, these are actual numbers. I can actually see how many people are listening, how many people are starting sessions, ending sessions, all that stuff, right? Like hour by hour breakdowns. I can even get down to specific segments. That's what it's cool. We can do this. And it is true numbers. Like, you can't BS these numbers. So the reason I brought this up is because I was talking to Nick Sherrara yesterday, and I was looking at the numbers from yesterday, or 2 days ago, excuse me, because when the Zach Greinke trade happened, because they were on air when it happened. And I was like, man, I wonder if people wanted to jump to ESPN to hear about the trade. And sure enough, it was the second biggest day in the last 90 days was the Greinke trade day. So, like, immediately you saw results. The Blitz had the Blitz just peaked because people wanted to hear what Fred had to say about it, right? So I was like, wow, that's cool. I want to hear that. The number one day, by the way, was the day after the Russell Westbrook trade. So July 12th was the biggest day. And then I went back and looked at the year. I was like, what were the biggest days of listenership within the last year? So 7 months almost, right? Because we're now in August. So here are the results. And I'm not going to give actual numbers away, but I can just rank them for you and comment as you may. Number one was April 29th. You're like, what, April 29th? Why April 29th? That was the Monday after the NFL draft, and that was also a day after the Rockets-Warriors game. So that was the biggest day of the year thus far.
So what do you think drove it more, the NFL? Probably the Rockets.
I should finish a list because then we can deduct from it.
And also, where did
Game of Thrones, episode 3 was that day as well. So the day after.
Gosh.
Yeah. So it was a huge day, right? And like April was supposed to be the greatest entertainment month, and it lived up to it. The second highest day was May 6th. The only thing we can attribute that to is Rockets-Warriors Game 3 was the day before. May 13th, Rockets fall to the Warriors. The series is over. July 12th was the Russell Westbrook day. And then April 22nd, Monday after Rockets playoff game, and also episode 2 of Game of Thrones. Here's where the NFL first cracks it. Now, the NFL draft did crack it, so we got to give the NFL some props. But the first time the Texans make a run at this was number 6. That was the day after they lost to the Colts, or excuse me, the Monday after they lost to the Colts was the first time the Texans specifically made our top listening day on the stream. And I didn't put this on the rundown, but I'll give you this number real quickly. Do you know where the NFL came in after that? They came in 16th. The next time they peaked was the day after the Super Bowl. That was our 16th best day of the year.
Yeah, but you have okay. Now you're not including the football season though.
No, I am including. This is since January 4th. Oh yeah, well yes, it's going back to November.
Yeah, you're not including. If you would have to go back to last August to get a real idea of the entire year. From a year ago today.
And I can absolutely do that and look at it. But since the beginning, wouldn't you think the day after Super Bowl would be one of the biggest top 10 days maybe?
I don't know. Do you think that people are tuning into local radio to get an idea of a Super Bowl, especially a boring, a 13-3 Super Bowl? I think, and plus I think people are sluggish the day after. I don't know. I don't know that that's going to be so important. It'd be interesting to see if you included the football season where the because I'm sure after Texans games now I'm sure that 610 does better than we do because they're the station for it. I don't know. I maybe they do. I don't know. But if you want Texans content, I tell you where you can go every second of every day.
Yeah.
But you know, we've got Lance and, you know, and we obviously break it down and we talk extensively after Texans games. I would be interested to see where, you know, the Texans ranked. Now, I will say this. I thought last year's Texans team with 11 wins, I couldn't find less buzz about. I mean, it was almost like, really? This is an 11-win team? And you could find very little positivity about that 11-win season. And for good reason, I think it played itself out in the postseason with their loss to the Colts that, you know, it was fool's gold. So a lot of people were hesitant to jump on board and be all in on that Texans team, and they were right. They were right about it. So it'd be interesting if you got a chance to go back through the football season and see where last year's Texans teams ranked.
Yeah, number one is still April 29th. I'm looking at it right now. That is still number one right now. Number two is September 24th, which would be a Monday. So that would be after the... I believe that was week three for the Houston Texans.
That was the Giants game.
Yeah. That was the next one. And then it's May. October 8th will be number five if we go back all the way to last September. So I'm starting from September 1st last year and looking at it now. And October 8th would be after the Colts. I want to say that was a Colts game.
Would that be their first win? No. What were they at? What was their record at the time?
Weren't they?
That would have been their first win.
October 7th, they beat the Cowboys Sunday night. So that would be after the Cowboys game.
Oh, okay. The day after the Cowboy game. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, then July 12th, which was the Russell Westbrook trade, the day after the trade day. Then September 17th, so that was week
two. That was after they lost to the Titans.
Titans, wow.
So a lot of it is schadenfreude.
Yep.
Like, oh, they sucked. Let's listen.
Then April 22nd, which is, again, that was the Game of Thrones Episode 3. Nothing else. That was Easter weekend. That was coming out of Easter weekend. I like to call it Easter Bee weekend.
What was after Game of Thrones 1? April 16th, that would have been, or April 15th?
It premiered the week before, so April 15th. Monday, April 15th would be the Monday after Game of Thrones, I believe.
And how did April 15th do?
April 15th is, I'm looking it up, give me a second, at this point in our lives.
I like that.
Throwback.
I like that. That's a good way to stall.
Yeah.
At this moment in the lives
doing that,
of people,
it is noticeable that people tuned in to this station after Texans losses or if they play the Cowboys. Those are the rankings. The Giants was one that kind of probably slapped everyone in the face. Like, okay, lose to the Titans on the road.
Season's over.
We're at home, first game at home, and we get beat by the Giants?
Season's over.
Yeah, people tuned in for that.
Yeah.
April 15th. I don't know, April 15th.
Well, after an 0-3 start, if you want to get, if you want to get honest in interpretation, I would think you would come here.
Yeah.
If you want to be fed some stuff about, hope and dreams and all that stuff, you would go elsewhere.
April 15th was right outside the top 20.
right outside the top 20.
Yeah,
so the
like
day
right
after
about,
the
yeah, right about
premiere.
Yeah.
Right outside. Right, yeah. Game of Thrones, though, it plays a role. That's funny because we were wondering whether or not we were talking too much Game of Thrones because some people didn't watch it, but it definitely drove numbers.
Yeah. It ranked ahead of the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Right. That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
And I think more people watch the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure. 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.